With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung the Wall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Achtung Millwall, your real Millwall fan show, recorded on this Wednesday, the 21st of October. Delighted to be back with you. I'm here in sunny, well, fucking gloomy, Royal Bunch. It's horrible outside. It is proper. It's proper British weather outside. Absolutely grim. I've had six cups of tea already. It is what it is, really, though. But I'm buzzing because we are talking about back-to-back wins for the Lions. Don't forget, Achtung Millwall, we are big in Botswana this week. Joining me, as ever, is the man himself. He's creeping up to that big number. It's the Podfather. It is Nick Hart.
Greetings, dear listeners. Fourth place in the table, greetings, in actual fact. We're going to get giddy. Going to need oxygen, Aaron.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you got your ventilator out?
It's been an interesting week. We'll come on to that shortly, but great performance last night against Luton. Really, really strong win, I thought.
One man that could supply you with that ventilator is Mr. Harold Warren, also known as Chernobyl Charlie. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, you all right, lads?
That's not your usual intro.
No, I'm all the higgledy-piggledy today. I'm doing new things, so I'm a bit...
You're right. You're a bit subdued today, mate.
You know. I'm all right. I'm trying to behave. You know, I had a Twitter spat last week, so I'm trying to behave and not get done for libel. So yeah, it's good.
Of course, Millwall are now fourth after two strong wins. Firstly at Wycombe Wanderers and last night at the Den. Looking back at the game against Wickham, a poor start, boys. We were obviously, you know, sort of communicating throughout the game. Yeah, it was a funny one, Nick. I mean, Wickham, six defeats now for them. I think they've scored one goal, of course, that one against Millwall.
Yeah,
it had to come against Millwall. Of course, it was going to come against Millwall, let's be fair. Like, is it a case of Millwall struggle against shit sides?
I very much think we do struggle against basic sides. I mean, we've had a couple of scruffy games this season. I think include the opening fixture against Stoke, who also came with a more refined, rough kind of approach than we saw from Wickham. But I'd include the Rotherham win, where I know we came away with the 3 points. I just feel that we are a little bit uncomfortable against the more basic sides. Now, that's not to say we can all point at the results, and we came away with 3 points at Adams Park, and the other games were a win and a draw. So, you know, we're dealing with it. I just think that we look a little bit at times on the back foot against these poorer sides. I mean, Wickham, for me, do look a poor side. I think they're going to struggle all season, and the results so far are sending a big message for them. They just look very, very League One, very limited. And our mistakes were self-inflicted rather than them opening us up. And I think that's probably the best way we can describe that first half up there. Second half, much, much better from the Lions. Much improved second half. And that's what we hope to see as the season progresses. But no, it's a scruffy win, but a win. In the end, that's all that matters. What did you make of it, H?
I mean, it was a game that probably 18 months ago would have got beaten. But again, it's functional. Everything that we've done so far this season has been functional. We are winning games functionally. We are, you know, we don't create an awful lot of flair-like chances, but the chances we do create, you know, whether that's slinging the ball up to Matt Smith and, you know, creating panic, that's what we do well. We've been playing to our strengths, and defensively we know we look solid. So it's weird because we're fourth and you should be more excited. But I'd caution it with you know, Millwall pessimism is kind of my MO of that, is that I think that, you know, against Swansea, I think we were unlucky. I don't really think we've deserved to get beat so far. Do I think we've deserved to win certain games that we have won? Probably not, but, you know, swings and roundabouts are football. But I thought the Wickham game, you know, it was nice. We went back to a 4-4-2. We've shown that we can play both formations still, which is a plus point. But again, I think the depth of the squad is what we talked about, but I think also the depth of the squad now is a plus point. I don't really see it as a negative. I think there's players on the bench that, when they come on, if they take their chances, you know, should be in and around the first team. And I think we've got a strong bench now for a Millwall side, maybe not compared to the rest of the division, but we've been quite good, I think.
With some nice passing last night, though, Harry. I was really struck by the quality of the win last night, more than the trip up the M40 on Saturday. I think that you're right to describe probably both games as functional. Certainly Saturday I describe as functional. But last night against Luton, I thought we dealt with them. I mean, they came into the game in sixth position and they didn't look like they had a sniff. They had one or two outside chances and then a great save from Bart towards the end. But otherwise, we dealt with them. I thought that was a really polished performance last night to contrast with Saturday.
Yeah, I think you're right in a way. I'd caution that with the fact that the table does lie at this point. You know, Luton just stung on last year and just stayed up. And, you know, Millwall should be putting Luton away.
I agree.
Last
season.
Conor Mahoney played well against Luton last season. You know, these are not things that changed. You know, the goal last night was similar to his one on New Year's Day. You know, so did it impress me? Yes and no. I expected to beat Luton. Did I expect it to be as comfortable? Probably not. Did I expect them to have more chances? Yes, I did. But I don't know if we were that good or were Luton that bad. I think slightly more to the fact that Luton were bad. I think some of the facts of our performance were very, very good. I do worry about our midfield. I still worry about our midfield. But other than that, you can only beat what's in front of you. We've started well. It's very difficult to say how this season's going to go. If we were in the ground, if we were in the den, if we were allowed to go to the den and the way we've started, you could feel that we'd get on a roll. The den would become manic at this point if they win Saturday. You know, everyone would be talking, oh, look at us, where we are. But I think the fact that we don't have the den as a weapon, that the squad is doing exceptionally well, and who knows where it's going to go. But I think that you've got to be cautious, because I don't think we're the finished article by all means. I think the table's a little bit deceiving in the sense that I don't think Reading, you know, I think Reading ain't dropped a point yet. No one had Reading winning their first six games or whatever. So, you know, a little bit of optimism by all means. You know,
still early doors. I do agree. Midfield is interesting, because I thought our midfield on Saturday, especially in that first half and to an extent in the second half, was comparatively poor, although Ryan Leonard will, you know, look point that is finished for the winning goal on Saturday. Ryan Woods is an intriguing player, because when he's good, he's very good, and when he's not, he's quite anonymous, isn't he? I still can't quite fathom him out as a player, because I felt on Saturday he was really not in the game, certainly not in the game on Saturday, and looked better last night. I just think he's one of these midfielders that if you don't give him the space and the time, he's easy to shut out of the game, and maybe that's what's held him back, as you know, career wise as a player, because passing wise and vision wise he's got the X factor, but it's just that ability to find space when you're under pressure. And Wickham, to their credit, or from their perspective, did that quite well last Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes he's a bit of a shithouse, isn't he? in the sense that he'll give I don't like it. I don't like centre midfielders that do it. I don't, you know, you watch the game. If you actually watch him, you know, when we're, you know, football's about denying the opposition space and creating space for yourself. That's how you get up the pitch. That's how you keep possession. Ryan Woods has got an absolute wonder of a right foot at times. There's no taking away from him. And he is the best passer we've got at the club, without a question. My question is why then he decides that I'm going to have a pass off Jake Cooper, I'm going to look up, see that I can't make a pass, and I'll give it back to Jake Cooper and move 4 yards and get the ball back again. You know, he doesn't... Sometimes yeah. He does that. He takes the simple pass to get... He almost make himself look good, which, you know, is a very un-Millwall workman-like way of playing. And when, as you said, people press him, you know, it creates mistakes. And, you know, I think he was poor. What game did we play in? And I thought he had a terrible game. The Swansea game, I thought he was shit.
He's had a couple of games where he's been...
But then last night is the flip side, is when Luton decided to sit off him. You know, he pings balls out to Jed and Romeo all the time. Conor Mahoney last night, he found a few times. And that's the difference. Now, unfortunately, and this is the one criticism I have of Gary Rowett's managerial reign at Millwall, is that Ryan Woods is... I'm going to name one player that will always be on that team sheet, other than probably the keeper and the back two of Hutchinson and Cooper, it is Ryan Wood's nickname on the team sheet. And that's a bit dangerous in the Millwall side, because I don't think sometimes we're going to have the luxury of having the ball in games that Ryan Woods needs the ball in, if you understand what I mean.
It's funny what you said about the fans, which we all know the mighty weapon that the Den can be when it's got its dander up, and you know, the high stakes are on the table. But we also know how players like Ryan Woods, and I think possibly to an extent, man of the match last night, Conor Mahoney, can fade a little bit under the criticism that would come their way. Because I was watching TV last night, on as we all are, and I thought some of this football, the crowd would really get on that team's back for knocking it around. Like we're a kind of a Barcelona version of Bermondsey, and the patience that we're showing, which is much easier to play as a style in an empty den rather than having, you know, the lower tiers screaming blue murder at you to get the ball forwards. It's going to be an interesting thing when, I hope it's when, fans finally get back into stadiums, because that's a style that hasn't been a traditional Mill style, but it certainly suits the empty den rather than the full den. Don't you agree?
Yeah, nothing suits the empty den. I'm trying not to pass comment on a previous pod. But no, I am.
Something a bit more positive. There's a tweet from Jake, and I'm going to give him a new nickname, Jake Colonel Sanders today. saying it's been exactly 1 year of Gary Rowett Millwall. Happy anniversary. Gaffer, 64 points from a possible 117. I actually remember when, the day Neil Harris departed, Nick. It was weird how it sort of coincided, because we were just about to record a pod and the news broke about 20 minutes before, and we're like, wow, shit, you know, crazy, let's do it. But yeah, 64 points off a possible 117, 117, drawn 13, lost 9, 36 conceded in 39 games, and 17 clean sheets. Those stats make for pretty decent reading, boys.
They speak for themselves, Aaron. Look at that, just 9 defeats in a year. Now, yeah, someone else contrasted it with the latter part of Neil Harris's reign, and, you know, obviously this reflects much better than the statistics. I haven't got the other stats to hand, so I'm not going to read those out, but I know that that's a big improvement on where things have got towards the end of Neil's reign. I take Harry's point about criticising some aspects of Gary Rowett's managerial stance, but I suppose in the end, football's, what's the cliche? It's a results business, Aaron, isn't it? And look at those results, 117 and drawn 13 and just been beaten 9 times. 17 clean sheets. That's some achievement, I think, at this level of football. So, no, 1 year, well done to Gary Rowett. I think he has improved the club. He is improving the club. We're early doors in the season, but we are sitting in fourth position. You can't take away the numbers. They do the talking there. I also quite like the football I saw last night. I know it's easy to say it was only Luton, but we beat Luton last season. That's correct as well. But, you know, we nullified them. They looked nothing. One or two pot shots from distance and that chance that Bart did really well to get a hand to. So, you know, you can't argue with the numbers. You can't really argue with the style, the way we're closing these games out. So, you know, that's the start and finish of it for me, certainly.
I've been a fan of Luton. I've been praising them and in what they do in terms of their recruitment, in terms of how Nathan Jones gets them playing and how they do things. Now, obviously, they came unstuck yesterday at the Den.
Achtung, Mehlball.
One man I want to pick up on is Ken Zahor, however you want to put his, he had a little cameo at the end. What was he like?
Didn't really see enough of him. I don't know what you made of him, Harry, but I thought he looked okay, but it's hard to tell based on, was it about 15 minutes or so that we saw him last night?
And it was sort of see it at game management type of thing. But I think there's been both managers, both Neil Harris and Gary Rowett, have said in the Millwall system that you have to work off the ball. You can't play the way that we play without putting a shift in. And I didn't see much of that. Now, whether he learns that, whether he's fully fit, I can't say that, you know. But there was a bit on the flip side of that. There was a bit where the ball came into him. He chested the ball back to goal, flipped it around the corner, and Jed and Tomo were away. And you know, in your normal non-game management mode, Millwall probably would have scored from there. But I think they were sort of half a mind of keeping the ball or wherever. But yeah, I think he's a key addition in the sense that, you know, Parrott's not fit. Bob Varson, who's flat as to the sea. Bradshaw, although puts the work in and sometimes doesn't get the admiration that he probably deserves, if I'm being totally honest, from a lot of the support. You know, he's a goal scorer at the end of the day. Bennett went up front last night and showed that I think he is better off playing. I thought he played really well in attacking midfield, I might add. But I think, he's boosted the squad. Whether or not he turns out to be an outstanding signing, who knows. But, another attacker's not a bad option, is it? I think his record at Cardiff was outstanding, I think. So hopefully he can get that form rather than his form from last season where I think he failed to score. So
I think you want to mention Matt Smith. I mean, I don't think he got the credit for the goal last night in the end. I think that was given as an own goal. But his presence created that goal. And Matt Smith reminds me in a funny kind of way of players like Jimmy Abdo in the past. That a number of times he gets written off, doesn't he? You know, Matt Smith is going to be on the bench a lot. And I really admire a player that will not accept his allotted role. And there he is. He's started two games in succession now. Been involved. He's made things happen in and around him. Whether he's getting the goal or somebody else is getting the goal or it's coming in off someone's backside, it don't matter. You've got to take your hat off to the sheer will that will not give up his place in that side. I admire that in a player. That's a real steal. He has his limits. He's got his strengths. He's got his weaknesses, of course. But that non-acceptance of your lot, I think, is something that I really take my hat off to and I admire. So I just wanted to mention Matt Smith. But also I want to mention Jed Wallace, who's playing out of his skin at the moment, boys. I think he is really on fire at the moment. How he missed that chance last night, second I was put through and put it over. I think he was just trying to go for the spectacular slightly. But, that would have been a screamer if that had gone in. So I think Jed is certainly our catalyst at the moment for anything good that goes forwards.
Yeah, I think so. I think
about time, isn't it?
I'll
be totally honest, I don't think that's fair. I think we know Jed burns out in April. It's happened every year. The bloke plays with so much intensity through the opening part of the season, and there's so much to carry in this side that I think people forget at the end of every sort of March, April, May, that the bloke's been carrying the side for 6 months and just naturally burns out. I can't take anything away from Jed Wallace. Jed Wallace can have 10 poor performances at the end of a season because for 30 out of 46 games, he's unplayable. So, you know, I don't think that's being too non-Millwall. I just think that, you know, sometimes he needs Mahoney or whoever else to take some of the pressure off him. And hopefully Connor proves me wrong and can do it more than just against Luton.
I mean, it's certainly Jed is playing with some more inventive players around him now. I'm going to include Mason Bennett, who wasn't in the side. And I thought, well, here we go. me and Vars, you know, the delicate flower on Saturday, but there he was last night, and he put in a shift. And a beautiful back heel. Was that when Leonard was put through, if memory serves? It was like a back heel on the edge of the penalty.
He ended up with it in the end.
All I can remember is the kind of beautiful back heel and the kind of confidence to take that on and for it to almost check out with a goal. It's great to see. So I think you're right, Harry, that Jed does burn out, and he will never give you anything less than 100%, which is another thing to Jed's credit. He is playing with other players around him now that can also do the inventive, do the unexpected. Bennett, Mahoney, they should shoulder some of the burden for him going forward. We don't really know what we're going to get from Zahore. Let's hope he can also help to convert some of these chances, because it's about the only criticism I think you could make of both games, really, Saturday and Tuesday night last night. Is that we're creating chances, but not quite putting enough of them away, really. We should have been further ahead. You know, that 1-0 lead looked a little bit slender at times in the second half when Luton did start stringing a few passes together. Not that they ever really threatened us, but it just felt a little bit slender at that point.
Are we going to see Ryan Leonard become a proper Gary Rowett-like stalwart now? Someone who's going to come in and just do a job for Rowett and needs to become one of those sort of trusted lieutenants, if you like.
I think he always was going to become that under Neil Harris, to be honest. I think a lot of people gave him a lot of shit in a poorly playing Millwall side. And Leonard was just starting to turn the corner and then got injured in the Leeds game. I think he played quite well for sort of two or three games before Neil Harris left. I think Ryan Leonard is finally showing why we spent all the money that we did on him. I mean, he played for Southend as player of the year. I know Southend ain't going much like Cop now, but when they were a championship side pushing for the playoffs, that people seem to forget, he was, you know, their player. You've got to move to Sheffield United and look where they've ended up, you know. So, I think Ryan Leonard's doing well. I think his ability to finish a chance is superior than Ryan Woods. They're two different players, but Leonard basically does all Ryan Woods, his dirty work, to allow Ryan Woods to do the artistry. And sometimes I prefer the Len Dog than the Ryan Woods Picasso.
That's a great quote. I'm just looking at Luton boss Nathan Jones speaking after the game last night. He said, I thought we, Luton, were pretty passive. We got out-muscled and we know we can't come here and have a fight with Millwall. They're probably going to be better at that than you. That's very strange. Is that stereotyping for us? I don't know. But I mean, certainly they were pushed around off the ball, which is good to see. So I'll take that all day long. Thank you very much, Nathan. I thought that was what we did really well last night. We closed them out completely. They looked very wishy-washy, in my opinion.
They did probably passive is the correct word. They looked passive. They looked like
passive, yeah.
As soon as that first goal went in, you know, what was it? A succession of corners leading to the goal. You know, it was just like they were rank. Every time they knocked it out, Millwall added another 10, like another 100 degrees on the cooker. Just as they start to get a foothold in the game, Mahoney pops up with a moment of quality that's good enough to win any game, really. I mean, what did it do? Hit the inside of the post and nearly roll back and hit the other one. That is unsavable, you know, that when they're like that. It's difficult because you want to get excited, but I feel, you know, this disconnect to that side because I'm not there. And I should be absolutely buzzing. I should be bouncing off the ceiling. But there's a slight, it's all tinged with this horrible, I'm not there to see it. It's the longest ever in my entire life that I've not been to the Den, which will be the same for many people who are listening to this. And yeah, we should all be enjoying this. This is why Sod's Law, I believe we will go up this season, just because I'm not
there. Yeah, you're not there. I've got a few more excited quotes from the internet than that, Harry. Merv Payne says, the transformation in Millwall in the last 12 months is staggering. Rowett is building something special here. We just need to be patient. I think that's easier in a crowd-free environment, rightly or wrongly. Good things are happening, says Merv. I think he's onto something there. I think that there is something being built here. You know, the transformation, and I've not come on here today to knock the past. Neil Harris reached probably the limits of what he could achieve at the Den, and somebody else needed to take over, and that someone being Gary Rowett has pushed us on. So I do feel that we've advanced in the year. I think generally we've advanced. Don't you agree, Harry?
Yeah, I think the recruitment, you know, is pretty much the same. I mean, Scott Malone's a great addition. I think sometimes we miss Scott Malone. I love Murray Wallace. I mean, he's the new Andy Frampton, isn't he? But I think he is, though, isn't he? He's just like, if you're going to describe him, what is he, Andy Frampton? Malone's more of an attacking threat, and everything looks a little bit more easy, you know what I mean? It's not as laboured. So that's a great addition. You look at the players that have added the little bits of, you know, managers tend to bring players that they trust and they respect to clubs that they go to after. So, you know, he's got Woods in who he knows, he's got Malone in who he knows, he's got Bennett in who he knows. And these are all players that would they have come to Neil Harris, and that's with the greatest respect for Neil Harris. I think he's probably getting a little bit more respect now that he's at Cardiff than what he did when he was at Millwall.
I think Harris needed to advance as well. I mean, it's. I think, you know, my wife said to me last night watching, is Neil Harris still at Cardiff? Yes, he is. You know, it always looks a bit strange when you see him in a Cardiff gear. I don't think I'll ever get used to that. But from his personal point of view, it was time for him to move on. And if he's going to be a proper manager, he's got to manage somewhere else other than the Den and all that comes with our club. So, you know, it was to his benefit too, but he'd certainly reached the end of the line at the Den. And
definitely. I think if you have a look at both trajectories of both Cardiff and Millwall over the last year, you realise that just because of a manager's been there a long time, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the results. If you look at Cardiff under Warnock, you know, Warnock's still a great manager, don't get me wrong. Like, look what he's doing with Middlesbrough. He kept Middlesbrough up and they're going well. They won last night. But Harris walks in and then suddenly they have an upturn of fortune. Rowett walks into Millwall after Harris and they have an upturn of fortune. You know, players...
It's a bounce, isn't there? Everywhere you go, there is a real new manager bounce. I mean, obviously, Forest last night lost under Houghton. That's just for us. I think there is a new manager bounce. Cardiff are recruited heavily this window. It will be fascinating to see how they get on and how they sort of push on.
For this division this season, if you didn't have Corona and you had fans and whatever, this would be a dogfight. This is an absolute dogfight between 10, 12 teams to win this league, because there's no outstanding team. I know Bristol City have spent money. I know there's teams that have spent money, but spending money doesn't guarantee anything in the Championship. There are better sides in terms of team spirit than Bristol City. And Nottingham Forest, to be fair, because Nottingham Forest are just a bunch of bottlers, really. Let's be honest, they shouldn't have been in the playoffs last season. You look at it and I think, why not us?
Well, why not?
That's twinned with Millwall knowledge saying it won't be us. At the same time, you know, it's the devil and the angel sitting on your shoulder.
We've struggled to score goals. That's probably been the biggest single thing that we've taken out each of the games we played this season. I know we scored two last night, but a lot of chances are not being taken. We've yet to really get a handle on Kenneth Zahor. We don't know what he's going to bring. Let's hope he brings good things. Troy Parrott also is another one that I probably expect when he's fit to be on the bench and coming into games. Let's see what he can do. It's going to be an interesting season. I'm just looking through the divisional table here. And, you know, when you look down at how it is, someone posted, there's nothing to be frightened of in the league. And you do look through all of these names and you think, well, you know, we've got a chance against any of them. There's no going to be no distinctive side this season. We'll see how Reading get on, but you know, so far there's nothing really to be wary of. So why not? This is a major, major chance for Mill Football Club to advance.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the thing is obviously Leeds going up, Fulham going up, and I can't remember who the other team was that went up. Shows how good West Brom. You know, they're names that are always at the top end of that table if they're in this division. You know, Brentford will probably fancy themselves, but they sold pretty much their star names. And spent a lot of money on Ivan Toney, who I do not rate. So, you know, there's the key things with the Championship is if you do lose your good players, is how you recruit. And the thing for Millwall is we didn't lose any of our key players. So we just kept on trucking and have added rather than lost anything, which is unusual for a Millwall side. You know, when if you think back to the last time that I feel we had a real chance of going to the Premier League, we had Wood on loan and we lost him. Or the time before that, you're going back to Dennis Wise and Ray Wilkins and the cup final run, you know, around that.
Yeah.
It's probably the most realistic. Obviously, we had the run under Neil Harris, but that was like that was a manic run that other teams tend to have, you know, go from 19th at Christmas and get in on the last day to the playoffs. But yeah, this is the most sustained, decent level of quality Millwall side. I mean, you know, I personally think that Jake Cooper shouldn't be in the Championship anymore. I think he's far too good for this division. But, you know, Jed's arguably as good as any bottom half Premier League side winger. And to have those players still at the club is a massive, massive plus point. Plus our goalkeeper is, you know, again, last night, I know he had the mistake at Wickham, but how many of them does he have? You know, he is, for me, the best goalkeeper in the division. I don't even know why it's a discussion. I don't even know why it is.
We should mention Jake's outrageous shot on goal on Saturday. I know it's been mentioned quite a few times, but I just want to say what confidence to take that shot on from halfway line. That was wonderful. I mean, I know people rightly talk about the greats, the Beckhams and others that have taken on that kind of, you know, chance and scored. But to have the confidence to even have a go from the halfway line, I think speaks volumes for the player's development, Harry. I mean, look how far Jake has come.
You know why Yapstam got rid of him at Reading, didn't you?
I can't imagine, don't know.
Right. He said he couldn't play with his feet. That was the reason to get rid of him.
Well, that was that's one of like the record company that didn't sign the Beatles, isn't it? You know, it's gonna be...
Exactly. Look at where Yapstam is now. You know, like, I think he got fired or something like that. Cincinnati in the MLS.
Yeah. Let's be his epitaph in that case, Aaron.
I mean, great player, absolute plum of a manager. I mean, the fact that Reading got into the playoffs that year, and then, I mean, they were the worst playoffs in years, those ones. Was it 2 years ago? Horrendous set of playoffs.
I was just saying, it's an interesting bottom six. Bottom five, probably, of the table. If you look, I mean, I'm going to discount, I'm open to your criticism, boys. I'm going to discount Sheffield Wednesday because obviously they're labouring under the points, yeah. You know, debit. So they're on -4 at the moment. They don't look like they're going to finish in that kind of category over the course of the 46 games. It's going to certainly detract from their season, that's for sure. But I don't see them as relegation candidates based on what, you know, results so far. So then you've got Wickham on 0 points, -12 goal difference. They do. I mean, they're kind of fitting the bill, I think. And then Barnes,
they're tier three, aren't they? If you're going to look on lockdown scale, they're tier three. We're doomed. That's
So Wickham, unless they can turn it around, I didn't really see much on Saturday to show where they're going, how they're going to turn it around. You know, bringing Akinfenwa into the mix is not. We're at too high a level for that to be to have impact. So then Barnsley look at opponents on Saturday in third from bottom position on 2 points, -4 goal difference. So they're probably approaching a crossroads of their season. They can still pull away from the grip of the relegation zone, or they can sink further into it. So they will want points on Saturday when they come to the Den.
Well, they lost their manager, didn't they? So they
Was it Struber? Gerhard Struber?
They were playing good football under Struber, and he basically turned their season around last season. They stayed up, obviously. And then he's disappeared, so I'd expect them to struggle now because, you know, they were struggling before they had him, and I'd assume they'll struggle after they've had him.
I think Derby, I mean, I think the managerial change is coming. If you look at the business they've done, it's very odd. It's very, very odd how they've sold a few players, they've loaned out some senior players.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Malone, obviously, Joseph Soon, the winger, Jack Marriott have gone out on loan. And if you look at their squad, it's made up of randoms, but a lot of youth players and a lot of players that are just... I mean, bringing in Colin Kazim-Richards.
Wow. 34. That's a name from the past.
It is a name from the past. A
very, very strange signing.
Who do you think will take over from Derby?
There's only one person, isn't
it? Rooney, you think?
Wayne Rooney, I reckon. I reckon they'll bring in Wayne Rooney.
That would be the most shocking. Yeah, that's it. In the relegation fight in the Championship and bringing Wayne Rooney.
That was the other club that my eyes fixed upon, because you look at the 21st position and just 3 points from the start of the season. Six games in, minus eight. So they're conceding goals and it's clearly not, you know, they're scratching around 4 points in wherever they can find them.
I think Forest and Preston will get better, Nick.
Preston, I think, will improve. Forest should do, shouldn't they? They should.
I think under Newton, they will. I really have faith in Newton to sort of turn it around.
I think it's too late to sort it out. I think that move should have been done in the summer. That, you know, they're full way at the end of last.
We're six games into the season. Six
games into a season where the next transfer window's a lot later into the season than what it was before. If you've got rotten apples in the dressing room, which I can only assume Nottingham Forest must have. I mean, we know about Lewis Grabham from the Book family. I can only assume he's not changed because he decides to score 20 goals every season and then fuck off on holiday, whenever that may be in the league season.
He was a good manager, though, Harry. He can be
a good manager. Anyone can be a great manager in the Championship. He had a great side when he was there and he got him promoted. He had a great time at Norwich and he got him promoted. You know, you can talk about what a great manager he is, but my question is, there's been big jobs in the Championship that he hasn't got before. And also, I think he's a good...
What jobs has he not got, and how do we know that he didn't want that job?
I mean, who doesn't want... We take the piss out of him. I mean, the Leeds job surely must have been in there. They've taken Warnock at Leeds. I mean, surely must have been...
What, under Cellino? Come on.
Look,
he was still at Brighton. Houghton would not have left Brighton for Leeds.
Why?
Leeds is a basket case, isn't it, at the time?
He was in the Premier League with Brighton. Why would he leave Brighton in the Premier League and go to Leeds under Massimo Cellino?
Right, let's have it right. I don't think Nottingham Forest will do anything under Houghton this season. Whether they do anything
maybe
next...
Maybe not under the season, but I think they'll be well safe. I think they'll probably end up...
They should clear relegation, Harry, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're getting relegated. I'm just saying I can't see them getting themselves from where they are at the moment, conceding goals the way they are, the results that they've had, the performances they've had, not just in this season, but at the end of last season. I can't see them sorting that out for... maybe another 10 games, then you're 16 games into the season and all of a sudden, you know, you're a long way behind.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung! Mehlball.
We need to move along, boys.
We do. Nick, talk to me. I mean, I really don't want to talk about the European Premier League. Talk to me about the charities.
Charity. We'll scrub the European Premier League out, backed by that fine footballing organisation, JP Morgan.
Let me go and we'll start again without you. We don't want you. Go away.
Mill Charities, I watched a wonderful video earlier on, and I, you know when you put a video on, it was on the official site, listeners, where you put a video on, I think I'll just watch a couple of minutes of this. It was 32 minutes of a Zoom call between Jed Wallace, Ryan Leonard, and a young lady from the guide dogs, the hearing dogs for deaf people charity that Millwall has teamed up with. And I'd say to anyone listening to this show, give it a listen. I sat down this morning, a cup of coffee, I'll just have a quick, get a feel of what this is all about. And I watched the whole thing, 32 minutes worth. Wonderful charity. I sent a link on Twitter earlier on because I wanted to say, football clubs generally, I include us all of them, and not just our club, because we follow our beloved Lions, obviously, and that's the one point of the show. But I want to say this about football, which does so much that is good in this life, and it's always easy to focus on the excesses that are easy to capture the headlines. But this video is well worth a watch. It's on the club's site. It's a Zoom call between Jed and Ryan, and primarily it's I think a lady's name is Sophie. She's deaf, and the dogs that this charity train act as her hearing in a way. So if for example the doorbell goes, she wouldn't necessarily pick that up with the hearing aids that she has to use. So the dog will hear it and will alert her to the fact someone's at the door. Loads of small things, like if her mobile phone pings. And again, the because of the tuning of the hearing aids, it's not necessarily always easy for her to pick up on this. And it was, it's a fascinating video. It'll I challenge you not to get a bit of dust in your eye at certain points in it. It's well worth a watch, and fair play to both Jed and to Ryan. They both did the call very, very well, I thought. But both of them are dog owners, both have kids. It's a great charity, well worth backing. And well done to Millwall Football Club, well done to Jed Wallace, well done to Ryan Leonard and whoever's put this deal together, because it's a fantastic charity. And also, I just want to mention the Lionesses, Be My Eyes, which is a similar, and obviously no animals involved, but it's a use of a mobile phone to act as a kind of a surrogate site for blind people when they need to find out certain details of everyday life. Two fantastic charities. Really recommend everyone to have a quick look at this. And if you start, I want to hear how many of you. Let me know if you watch the whole 32 minutes, because I know I started thinking I'll just watch a couple of minutes, and I sat through half hours worth of it. It's well worth a watch. I recommend it.
Brilliant stuff. Nick, I know what I'm saying. Well, I need to say it next. Can you run the jingle, please?
The Acton Acca.
Run the track, Rasta. Yeah. The Acton Acca.
The Acton Acca. There we are, the Acton Acca, Aaron.
Yeah, shafted again. I was guilty of it this week. I'm sorry, but again, I backed a Forest Blackburn draw.
Yeah, this is our for charity Acca listeners that has yet to generate a penny, but there we are. It's always going to be an ambitious one, boy, isn't it? I mean, a six-way accumulator is going to be an ambitious shot in anyone's.
I nearly won a 10 balls yesterday.
Three or four right a week, isn't it, at the moment?
We got four right last week. We Aaron predicted a draw between Blackburn and Forest, which is probably not a bad call, given the form of sides involved. That finished up for was that a win for Blackburn, I think?
No, Forest won it in the last minute. They won it in injury time.
But we also, Michael Avery's Bournemouth versus QPR, he predicted Bournemouth to beat QPR. I think that was a win for QPR again.
No, it was a
0-0, Nick. 0-0. That shows you how much attention I pay to other teams.
It was a terrible 0-0.
But this week's good boys were Ryan, who predicted a win for the Lions against Wickham. Harry backed Cheltenham to beat Southend. I think from what I'm seeing of Southend, Harry, back anyone to beat Southend this season. Probably not going to be a bad bet.
That's a double every week, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Harry Warren tip. That base them in your Accas.
Well done to Mike Hayden for predicting Norwich to beat Rotherham. Awesome. And also a bit of self-praise, which is no praise for me to... I took Brentford to beat Coventry. So four out of the six were correct there. Two went astray. So we'll do another Acton Acca this week. We've widened it, listeners, to include other Football League teams now. Well, I suppose conceivably any team we like, really. But
picking up on the gambling side of things, Nick, I just want to pick up on the dickhead bet of the week.
Yeah, because you had a close shave of your dickhead bet, didn't you?
Well, yeah, no, but I cashed out yesterday. I didn't listen to the boys, and I cashed out, and that was the right thing to do. So I had, it was an over and under 3.5 goals, 11-fold, 145.9-1, and I stuck 50 pence on it. Yeah. So I went over 3.5 goals, Wealdstone versus Chesterfield, Barcelona versus Ferencváros, Lazio versus Dortmund, and Salford versus Southend. Under 3.5 goals, Millwall Luton, Bristol City Borough, Nottingham Forest Rotherham, Huddersfield Derby, Norwich Birmingham, basically any game in the Championship. Rennes versus Krasnodar and Reading versus Wickham. They all came in apart from Salford versus Southend, which finished 3-0 to Salford, and I cashed out at £11.80. So not a bad little return.
50p.
Even though Harry told me not to cash out. Sorry, Harry. I cashed out because that's going to fund my dickhead bets like the next year.
Right.
So, the dickhead bet listeners. There we are.
Don't be a bitch. No pull-out method, mate. That's it.
we do not advocate gambling as a way of life, listeners. Right. But it's,
no,
but
we don't.
If when the fun stops, Harry, stop it.
Well, talking about fun, I've just had a look at the Acton Fantasy League. And what fun pops to my head is I scroll deep down to the bottom of the 68 people that are in this division, and I find with 17 points over the last week's games, the team that's Lomas's Lager.
Yeah, I know, struggling, aren't I?
168 points. The next, so you are bottom of.
I'm bottom. If only I paid some attention to it, listeners.
It would be handy. The next lion, next regular voice you hear is in 49th place. It's Mr. Michael Avery. Myself, I had a bad week. I dropped to 42nd position, being beaten by one of the Lionesses I go and watch every week, which will no doubt please them immensely. I'm in 42nd, and then we have to go to the dizzying heights. We're going all the way to, I did see his name just then, but it just disappeared. Anyway, basically, Aaron's second and Ryan's eighth. And this is, Mike Hayden's 14th. This is unacceptable, listeners.
Ian Busquets, Andrew Crowe, I'm coming for you, mate. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, the Big Bear Brownie Company. I can recommend their brownies, listeners. They also know a little bit about fantasy football, it seems. Yeah, so well done.
Nick, we're coming for you, mate. We're on route for you now.
Absolutely.
They gave the Lionesses, we're very, very pleased with your brownies, Aaron. I must pass on their compliments for your brownies.
Very good.
There we are.
Yearbooks, Nick.
Yeah, last shout. The last few of the yearbooks. Just want to shift them now. So if you do want any, log on to the MSC website shop. Really appreciate the MSC's help this year for selling the yearbook. It's been a real help. We're just down to about the last few now. So if you are interested, get on it because they're going fast. So big thank you to everyone who's ordered a book so far.
Most clean sheets in 2020 in the top five UEFA leagues and the Championship, of course, Millwall topped that list with Real Madrid and Getafe.
Wow, that's quite a record. That's quite a record.
13 clean sheets. So, you know, a fabulous record for Bartosz Białkowski. Barcelona, Borussia Dortmund and Wolves are up next with 12. Atletico Madrid, Bayern München, Man City, Fulham, Leeds, Cardiff, Stoke and Wigan in on 11. So well done to Białkowski, Jake Cooper, Hutch and the kind guys down at the Den. Let's have your predos for Barnsley, boys. Barnsley. This has got to be another 3 points. This has got to be, let's get the train going. Let's get them going for Nick's birthday weekend. Let's get the old Chateau Chalmé out, the Charmelaine out on a Saturday afternoon.
Chateau Nerf the Pap.
That's it, a Millwall victory on a Saturday afternoon. 3 o'clock kickoff down to then, Nick Hart.
I hope to be celebrated with a little nip of Chateau Neuf du Pape, as Harry rightly says. I hope to be celebrating Millwall 2, Barnsley 0.
Harold Warren.
Millwall 0, Barnsley 1.
Oh, fuck's sake. Right, let's go. I'm going for a clean.
I am long in the tooth, my friend. I understand.
I'm going for a clean sheet, but I'm going for a low scoring affair. Millwall 1, Barnsley 0.
Fantastic.
There you have it, gentlemen. There you have it. Nick, it's nearly here. The big 6-0 is nearly here, pal.
I know, mate.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel like I did yesterday and the day before. But Friday is the day, listeners. So, yeah, feel free to send me any Twitter thoughts, best wishes, advice, anything that you can for the latter years of 60 plus. So,
Senatogen.
Complan.
What was the old advert with Michael Winner in it?
Esau.
Oh, that was an insurance based one.
Love Esau. What you want, Nick, is iron genoids.
Yeah, I'm all over all of this, listeners. I should be sticking a little bit of Chateau Nerf Dupap in me Senatogen. So,
Stanners still do stair lifts?
Nick, we'll get Harry to make you one, mate.
Yeah, you can build it.
Stick a Ford engine in and get up the stairs fast.
Great stuff, chaps.
Good luck. Well, Nick, happy birthday.
Thank you.
In advance, mate. Birthday, mate. Harold, thank you for joining me as ever, pal. Chernobyl Charlie, back with us this week. Who's with us next week, Nick?
No show next week. I'm away next week, so it'll be the week after. But
there you go.
Can I do a cheeky plug?
Cool.
So the Lionesses show will be shown on Lionesses TV this week. We can get the week off of editing because obviously it's his birthday. So we're going to continue to do a show rather than not have a show. But it will be a Zoom call format by people who are more intelligent than me. I just stick it up on the channel afterwards.
Well, I should be watching that from the wilds of England somewhere.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Harold. That is Yaktung Millwall for this week. Be safe, guys. Be safe. Have a good one. Be good to one another. I don't know why I sound like the Reverend at the end of the sermon. Love thy neighbour, one and all. You know, be nice. And look after your tier twos and all that bollocks. I've got to bob off now, but until 2 weeks' time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Acton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, that's your new one. Till next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.